happy Tuesday morning to you here on 89.7 WTBR Pittsfield. It's Bob Heck here with you. And we're going to have a chat with Samantha Talora today. And Samantha's really in the middle of an inspiring story that's still being written. And I'm excited to learn more. Samantha, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Looking forward to being here.
It helps to turn your mic on.
Oh, all good.
Right, cool.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you've basically gone all in on your dream. Is that basically...
Yeah, I love that. That's a great way to say it. I'm all in, and I've always been a singer my whole life, but I kind of put it on hold for a long period mm-hmm. of time to work in hospitality and sort of do the quote-unquote grown-up job that you think you're supposed to do when you grow up. But I've kind of realized through life, as we all experience, that life is real short. And if there's something that keeps calling you back to it, you got to follow that path and keep going. And for me, it's music and singing. And so here, I'm jumping back in.
When did you catch the singing bug?
Oh, probably around the age of 3.
Okay.
Miss Piggy was my hero. And so my mom would put an album on and it was, you know, so any kind of Muppets, Miss Piggy. And I would learn it, you know, right away. And I'd be singing it around the house. But after that, it was, you know, the church choir. And, you know, growing up, my mom said, okay, let's get her in the choir. And they gave me a microphone. And that was sort of the end of that. And talent shows. And then, of course, high school musicals and going off to college and studying theater and all of the things that made sense. And that path followed. And my senior year of college was 9/11. I ended up moving back home. I was in New York for college. And moving back home to sort of figure things out and mm-hmm. what felt right. And you know, as life does, it sort of, you know, I ended up finding this role in hospitality and working in a sales position. And then I became a wedding planner. And then it sort of, life just sort of happened. And slowly I realized, I don't even know the last time I sang until I ultimately got pretty sick and ended up in the hospital. And I think it was, you know, kind of going down a path that wasn't right for me, but realizing that my soul was needing that back in it. So I slowly, again, returned to the church, started singing more. Actually, it was St. Agnes Church in Dalton that welcomed me back in and into the choir loft. And people would say, like, you know, come and sing at my wedding, or sometimes it was a funeral. And those things sort of snowballed. And I ultimately met who is a man who is now a very dear friend of mine. His name is Ron Ramsey, and the two of us have been partnering up and singing all over the Berkshires. But now I'm moving more into New York, and I have a wonderful partnership with a Savannah Voice Festival in Savannah, Georgia, and I'll be returning there this summer. So it's really been, when you know that something is right for you and the sort of those things just start lining up and things sort of happen without almost knowing how, it's like that, follow that path. That's just where I find myself going.
So were you living in New York City on 9/11?
I was, yeah.
Oh, wow. So how was that day?
Well, that was, I mean, it was what you would expect,
yes.
Right? It was terrifying, and it was, there really are no words, because it is not like anything we had ever experienced as Americans before. So thankfully not since, but, it was a real reality check, and it was a perspective shift that everybody was suddenly, I've heard this said before, but all New Yorkers were looking each other in the eye and offering each other seats on the train and offering, mm-hmm. you know, that sense of humanity, and we all have to take care of each other. And that was the beautiful part of it. But others, you know, the other side of it was how terrifying it was. Bridges were shut down, and that was just what was true. And you're just trying to figure out what the next step is and what put one foot in front of the other.
So that's what inspired you to leave New York City? Did you try and make it on Broadway? Did you try and make it as a singer down there?
I definitely did. Yeah. I mean, I graduated from college the following May. So it was, you know, that was September of 2001. That was the start of my senior year. And I graduated the following year, and I still, you know, auditioned, and I was still doing all of the things that trying to make it, and, you know, working, trying to get in with representation and trying to get just seen and known. And also at that age, you're just trying to figure out who the heck you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is it that I have to offer, and what is it that that makes me unique in this sort of really challenging world and in industry. And to be perfectly honest, I think that at that age, 21, 22 years old, I just didn't know. I didn't know who I was and what I wanted to do and really what I had to offer. And I think that was the trick for me, was just, I moved back home. I had a boyfriend who now is my husband, you know, 25 years later. And I didn't have enough of a path and enough of a sense of who I was at that point. And that's what's so beautiful now, is as many, many years later, you know, going forward on this path and now knowing who I am and now knowing how short life is and how precious life is and how I can also, while I'm pursuing my own dream and my own path, look at the young people in my life and say, hey, you know, keep going, keep following that path. But also, you want to follow your dreams, but who are you and what is it true for you? What makes you unique in this world? And how can you show up in that way? And it's not to say that the adults in my life did me any disservice. I don't mean that at all. It's just that I think then those were not questions we were asking ourselves. Right. And those are things that I look at every day now. And I try to instill in the young people in my life, whether it's people that are young people in my family, young people that I'm mentoring, but just that we do each have something so special and unique to offer. And there will be plenty of people who will tell you that what you have is not it. And what, you know, the rejection is just the name of the game in this world, in this industry. But the reality is, you are the right thing for someone, and you have to first be the right thing for yourself and figure out what that is. So that's what I bring to it at this stage of my life.
How is it, you know, dealing with rejection at that age? You know, you try and try and try. I mean, did you ever get anything in that first run in New York? And, you know, how do you deal with rejection?
Yeah, I think, well, rejection is just, has to become your best friend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, what it just does is push you down the path in a different direction. It's not really a no, it's just a not this or a not now, you know, and that's something that I've learned with age. But at the time, it was really hard to see things that way because you don't have that perspective. You don't have that, well, some people do, but you don't have that self-belief yet, or again, that self-knowledge. So if you're not walking down a path with any kind of purpose yet, then it's sort of like, okay, now what? And what does this mean for me on a larger scale? If you're listening for someone else's approval for your own self-worth. And that's just a natural way to feel when you're that young and in that world and being told no. And especially when it's not like some piece of knowledge that you have. It's like who you are, like you're showing up as yourself. So the rejection feels very personal. It's not, I mean, I've had certainly job interviews where I've been rejected, and that feels less personal to me mm-hmm. than, oh, you didn't sing that the way I wanted you to sing it, or that right. piece of acting wasn't right. So I think that certainly I had plenty of that. And then the other important thing is, like, sometimes young people can get stars in their eyes when it comes to this work about, okay, I want to be on Broadway and I want to be in this world. And Broadway is fantastic. I love the Broadway shows, of course. But the essence of it is to be working and to be sharing your craft and sharing your gifts and sharing yourself mm-hmm. and bringing yourself to it. And that's the piece that I say to young people now, is just, you know, the essential piece is show up as you. Don't let anyone else try to modify that. You want to be honing and crafting and getting better all the time. That's true for everybody and anything. But I think the essential piece is, yes, you will get the no, become really good friends with it, and just know that it's just another step in the path that you're on, and it's just pushing you in the direction you need to be going.
So at what point did you, I want to say give up on your dream the first time, but at what point did you give up on your dream the first time?
Well, what was interesting is I feel like there was never an official, like, I'm done with this. It was just sort of, again, my path, people, new things were being put in my path that were not musical, that were not artistic. Mm-hmm. And it came to me in the world of hospitality, moving back to the Berkshires. It's very present here in the Berkshires. And I knew a lot of people that were pushing me in that direction. I ended up working at Tanglewood. I was working for the Boston Symphony. My degree is actually in arts administration. So I was working for the Boston Symphony. And that was, again, just kind of pushing me down the road. And I never really officially gave up on it. I just...
Life happened.
Life happened. That's the right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
So you come back, and then you became a wedding planner.
Yeah.
And there's not, I can, as somebody who also works in the wedding business, I can tell you, there's not a lot of extra free time, especially if you're the planner, because you're getting calls all the time, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, I was getting calls all the time, and it was certainly evenings and weekends are out, and that's when a lot of performances are. But the amount of energy that it takes to make that, to produce those weddings all the time, and what kind of towards the end of my career as a wedding planner, I was again assessing, what do I like about this? What do I not like about this? And I think that sort of the very performative part of it, which is you're putting on a show every day. A wedding is a show because it's sort of all the pieces, all the moving parts, and you start not married, you end the day married, and you're surrounded by all these people. There's an audience. There's this sort of, if you will, I don't mean that your friends and family are an audience, but, you know, the energy of that is very similar. And I realized that that was sort of the thing that drew me to it. And I remember it was one day something happened. I feel like maybe there was somebody's car broke down who was supposed to be coming and singing at a ceremony. And they were like, what are we going to do? We don't have someone to sing for the ceremony. And it was sort of this interesting collision of my worlds. And I went, well, I could sing that, you know, and hadn't sung in a while. But it was a really a beautiful sort of going, oh, yeah, why don't I do this anymore? And maybe that it hadn't occurred to me till just now. But I that may have been sort of a pivotal moment in going, yeah, why did I stop? What did stop me? And again, just life happening. But that maybe was the spark of maybe look at this again.
And at what point did you decide to stop being a wedding planner?
Well, it was ultimately when I found myself sick and in the hospital because of stress and burnout and just realizing that, you know, I was giving a lot to a lot of other people and I loved that part of my life and loved working with the people that I worked with. But I realized, again, talk about life is short. You know, I just said, what am I doing? I'm 30 years old and I'm in the hospital because I've worked myself to a point of exhaustion and I need to reassess this. And so that was when I made that shift back. And that was, again, when a mutual friend said, come and sing with me in the church. She used to sing in the church. And, you know, I don't consider myself necessarily a deeply religious person, certainly spiritual. But that was such a gift to say, have someone say to me, here, come on up here and let's just use that voice again and share it with others in a communal way. It was so healing for me.
And, you know, after a while, it's, You get rusty, you get cobwebs and things like that.
Sure.
How do you shake through that? And was there a point where, like, you walked in and you're like, I got this. And then you realized, maybe I don't got this right away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, certainly. Again, because it was, I'm singing in the church and that felt low stakes. You know, that was sort of like very, you know, again, welcoming and there weren't a lot of critics down below in the congregation. But, when there were, you can go, okay, yes, this is familiar and comfortable and this is what I've always, and jump back in and sing at someone's wedding and sing, you know, again, funerals or what have you. And then, you know, somebody says, well, come and sing back up for me in my concert. And I do that. And then it's, why don't we put you on stage and you do a solo? And suddenly you go, that self-doubt starts to come in a little bit and you go, oh yeah, I did do this, but it's been a minute when it's, you know, in this way and showing up and standing in front of a, you know, 1,000 people, let's say. And I think that, you know, thankfully I sort of felt that coming on early enough and I could say, okay, time to get back with a vocal coach. And it's time to, you know, again, just using your body, getting into a more of a routine of this is how I wake up. This is how I warm up. This is how much sleep I'm getting. This is how, and just getting yourself back into that sort of vocal shape again, but also the mental, you know, mindset of I can do this and I don't have to listen to maybe a naysayer or my own inner naysayer and say, absolutely. You know, this is just, again, what I say to the young people in my world. I'm showing up with what I have to offer in my own uniqueness and trust that that is enough to show up and share it with someone.
You're listening to Morning Drive here on a Tuesday morning. Our guest is Samantha Talora, and we're talking about, you know, her past as a musician and her career and at what point, you know, the dream sort of went away the first time. How did you end up at Canyon Ranch?
Great question. So when I was, again, I had been, when I was sick and in the hospital, I quit my job as a wedding planner. And
now, were you on your own or were you working for a company as a wedding planner?
I had been working for what was Cranwell Resort, is now Miraval, but okay. Cranwell. So I was working there and then ultimately ended up going out on my own after that. And that's when I realized I needed to stop altogether. But a friend of mine who I knew through wedding planning, and I'll say her name on the air. A lot of you will know her, Carolyn Valenti. She's a florist in the area.
Oh, I love Carolyn. Yeah.
Everybody loves Carolyn. And she was the one who said, come and sing in the church choir with me.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. And so she also was the house florist at Canyon Ranch at the time. And she said, you're out of work. I need someone to come and help me decorate for the holidays at Canyon Ranch. And I did. We were there for a week. And again, working in hospitality, it's a small industry. You end up knowing people. I ran into several people at the ranch that I had known from Cranwell. And by the end of the week, they're like, you're looking for a job? And I said, well, yeah, I kind of am. And by the end of the week, I had a job there, which was, again, I didn't go looking for it. Just sort of things find their way to you. And what was really wonderful about that was, if you don't know, Canyon Ranch is a place where a lot of healing takes place for people. And I was healed there, 100%. I mean, I really found my way back to wholeness because of, again, I had mentioned I had been exhausted and burnt out. Mm-hmm. And it really taught me how to take care of myself again, which was also essential in my vocal, you know, path. So, again, accidental, but exactly where I was supposed to be.
And that's kind of where we hooked up because I've been doing music bingo and trivia at Canyon Ranch I feel like 10 years now.
It's been a while.
Yeah, which almost makes me cringe. It's like, it feels like we just started a couple of years ago. There was the pandemic in there. And then yeah. I feel like we were there for a long time beforehand. Like 10 years just goes by in a flash.
It's so true.
Basically, you were planning events for guests at Canyon Ranch.
That's right. So using my background as an event planner from weddings and putting in place at Canyon Ranch and bringing in guest speakers and creating wonderful, impactful experiences. And this is where I got to blend my world of music with my event planning, where all of the people that I knew from the Broadway world, you know, we had an evening entertainment for the guests, of course, and I got to bring in these wonderful musicians that I've known forever, and some were more new to me, of course, but in creating this Broadway in the Berkshire series at Canyon Ranch. And so through that, bringing those guests in and also working with lots of wonderful musicians who live locally here in the Berkshires, I was singing at Canyon Ranch with the people that I sing here with all the time in the Berkshires, and then bringing in these wonderful New York artists and sort of creating this energetic, wonderful experience for the guests. And in doing that, I went, oh, yeah, I really miss that world. It sort of brought it right back to me. And it was mm-hmm. this, you know, full circle moment and meeting these wonderful agents, artists, you know, accompanists, composers. And that's what led me to a gentleman by the name of David Friedman, who is a composer, very well known. He was also a conductor on Broadway. And if you watch the Disney animated films, Beauty and the Beast, Hunchback of Notre Dame, he's the one on the recordings that you hear. He's the conductor of those orchestras. And he came and brought a wonderful artist by the name of Karen Mason to perform at the ranch. And afterwards, we were just chatting, and I happened to say to him, you know, I am a singer, and I never say that to anybody because I always feel like, why would you? It's like Dirty Dancing when she says, I carried a watermelon, you know, like, I just don't want to be the girl who says that. But we were chatting and it came up and he said, well, why don't you sing something for me? And I did. And it was just one of those moments that felt like this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now with this person. And from there, it's really blossomed into a beautiful partnership and friendship. He has this enormous catalog of music that he's written. And, you know, I've done a solo show in New York City of his music. He's the one who introduced me to the wonderful musicians in Savannah at the Voice Festival. And we've worked everywhere from the Berkshires to New York to Connecticut to Georgia and hopefully many more to come. So it's been a real gift to be able to sing his music, not only sing his music, but to have him at the piano and guiding me and mentoring me with the vast knowledge that he has in this industry.
Is this industry, you know, more, I mean, you have to know, but is it more who you know than what you know, or?
Yeah, in some ways, you know, it's like being in the right place at the right time.
Yes.
It's, you know, so having those people that you know is absolutely helpful, because if you have that familiarity and someone is willing to bring you in the door because they know who you are, or you know someone who knows them, that's a little bit of a shortcut, let's say. But then when you get in there, you better know what you're doing. You better have the goods, and you better, you know, be able to deliver on whatever it is that they're looking for. So it's like you said, it's what you know, but it is also because there are so many talented people in this world.
Absolutely.
You know, so many. And there's really no, I don't believe that anyone is more talented. You know, there is, I'm talented in this way, you're talented in this way, he's talented in that way. And it's sort of, how do you show up and what are they needing in this moment? Okay, yes, but you also need to bring the best version of yourself in whatever situation you're in. So, having that person who can put you in front of the right person definitely helps.
And you grew up here in the Berkshires,
I
right?
I did, yeah.
Did you find the youth theater scene, you know, it seems very extensive here now. Was it like that when you were coming up in the late 90s?
Yeah, actually, no, I didn't find it to be. If it was, it wasn't. Oh, I wasn't aware of it at that time in my life. And I look at how it is now, and I'm so thrilled that there's so many opportunities for young people who are interested in that to dive in at Barrington Stage or Berkshire Theater Festival, or, you know, any number of wonderful private study coaches that are here in the Berkshires as well. But there was a one team of women who I was introduced to. My high school music teacher was Waveland Hine, who I adored and still am connected with thanks to the beauty of social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I was introduced to Hilda Banks Shapiro and Irene McDonald at a very young age. And both of these wonderful women have since passed on. But they were really at the core of helping to keep the Great American Songbook and musical theater sort of alive. They were both in Sheffield and Great Barrington, and doing these regular performances where young people and adults alike were on the stage, and it was really helping to foster and keep young people, keeping it available to young people. So that was my outlet at a young age, in addition to, as I mentioned, the church choir.
And you did some high school musicals as well?
I did. I went to Hoosick Valley High School, and we did, you know, Waveland Hine. She was so fantastic every year. Huge productions, and, you know, everywhere from Jesus Christ Superstar to The Music Man to Crazy for You and, you know, Sweet Charity and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. You know, there was such a vibrant, there were teachers who really kept that going. It was Marianne Caproni before her and then Waveland Hine, and they just worked. Music teachers in the arts are just, I think, gold. And I'm so grateful for the ones that I had in my life.
And then from there, you end up in New York City. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Wagner College.
Okay.
And they had a great arts administration program, degree, a bachelor's in arts administration. That was great because you had the business foundation, but then you also got to, whether it was visual art, music, or theater, and I really was very much involved in both music and theater. So I got a great background in opera, classical music, with choral music of various cultural backgrounds, and got to travel quite a bit with that group. And then the theater department was very well recognized, you know, among college theaters at that time, and got a great education in both on the stage and behind the scenes technical work. So really, I think a beautifully well-rounded experience in sort of helping all students at that age figure out which area of the arts and music and performance or back behind the stage was the right fit for them, so that people can really see themselves in any version of that made the most sense for them.
We're here with Samantha Talora. She's telling us a story about how tried to make it in New York City, and life sort of got in the way. But now she's gone all in, and she's pursuing it again. And we'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. You're listening to 89.7 WTBR Pittsfield Community Radio. It's Morning Drive.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
WTBR FM is listener supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Join us at the Pittsfield Farmers Market. Meet your local farmers, artisans, friends, and neighbors. Enjoy the bounty of the Berkshires at a market that's accessible to all shoppers. With live music, chef demos, and family-friendly activities, the Pittsfield Farmers Market is more than a place to shop. Join us each Saturday, May 10th through October 11th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Pittsfield Common.
Tired of the same old on the radio? Hi, I'm Hannah. Each week I search the archives for hidden gems from your favorite artists, plus all the latest releases and rock trivia. Please join me for Deep Cuts, Thursdays, 4 to 6, at 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Santrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Our guest is Samantha Talora, and we're going to talk about some stuff she has coming up in the Berkshires in just a little bit. But first, you talked about, you know, meeting David Friedman at Canyon Ranch, and then you did a solo show with him in New York City.
Right.
How cool was that, I suppose? And how do you think it went? I read some of the reviews. It seemed like it went really well.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, it really did. It far exceeded my expectations. And, of course, you know, it was my first time back in New York, especially doing a solo show. Mm-hmm. And so there were nerves, to sure. say the least. And I had some real personal conversations with myself about, again, all of the things that come up when you are reentering this world. And ultimately, I have to say the audience was what brought me right through it. It was such a beautiful experience, and to be guided by David and to have his support really meant so much to me. And it felt like I was back where I belonged. I felt like I was back in this world that I took quite a hiatus from, but it was quite frankly the better time for me to be revisiting it. I just feel so much more self-assured, self-knowing, it has arrived in my world at the right time in the right place.
So you got back into singing, joining a choir, and then somebody asked you to become their backup singer, and you're their backup singer. And, you know, some guy comes up to you and says, "What the hell are you doing as a backup singer?" Is that basically the story?
That's what happened. Right. And that guy was my dear friend, Ron Ramsey, who, you know, also is now living in the Berkshires. But he had quite a career for 30 years in New York as well as a singer, an actor, dancer. And so he and I were new to each other at that time. And he said, "What are you doing singing backup?" And I said, "Well, I'm revisiting this world. I haven't been doing it in a long time." And he said, "Well, I'm back in the Berkshires now. I'm looking for someone to create an act with here. What do you think? What do you want to join me?" And it was just another one of those things where someone comes in and puts this opportunity in your path. And I was in my one of my now years of yes, and I've since had a couple of more since then, but that was my first big year of yes, and not saying no to that was one of the mm-hmm. best decisions that I made. And we have been singing together. He's a wonderful singer, also pianist, vocal coach, and he's I've learned quite a bit from him, so much.
And you almost said no to him because you were going through something difficult at that time.
That's true. Yeah, I almost said no. I had recently, about a month before that, had lost my brother, who had unfortunately lost his battle to cancer, and I was not in a great place. Mm-hmm. I was quite frankly not thinking about myself. Certainly, I was focused on my family and my niece and nephew, and I just couldn't imagine putting myself on stage feeling the way I felt. And it was Ron who said to me, you know, we barely knew each other at that point, but sure. He just said, because he was another human being who had also been through very challenging times in his life, and just said, you know, this might be really what you need at this point. I know you don't feel like you want to get out of bed some days, but this might be the thing that's going to help you persevere and move forward while you're busy taking care of other things. So I thought about that really long and hard about that, and sort of one of those dark nights of the soul when you're not really sure how you're going to find the courage to start again the next day. I decided to call him and say, you know what, I think you might be right, and that was the best yes I ever had in my life, because it was, not only did it bring me to this wonderful musical partner who has been a mentor and dear friend to me, but he's also, you know, one of my favorite people who has just given me a lot of joy and a lot of guidance and brought me back to where I am today.
And how long have you been performing together? And
let's see, we have been now together for 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that has been, again, throughout the Berkshires, but really throughout New England. And he has come back to New York with me, and he's since done he's brought back his solo show to New York as well. So it's really been a wonderful experience and path for both of us. And we have been more in New York than we have been in the Berkshires the past year, but I'm happy to say that this coming summer we're going to be doing far more in the Berkshires again, and really excited to be spending the summer here.
Now, how do you guys, you said you put an act together, like,
yeah,
how does that act come together?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, you sit down at a table and you know, maybe you have a cup of coffee and or tea, and you're like, okay, who are you? And sort of mm-hmm. getting to know that person and what makes each other excited and what makes you scared and what makes you, because there is a lot of therapy that happens when it comes to creating an act with someone.
Sure.
And then it was, okay, what's your wheelhouse? What kind of music do you sing? And, you know, bringing a bunch of music to the table and just sort of letting the music fly, and there's sheet music everywhere. And that took us, I think that was probably, let's say we started that conversation in December, and then by April, so it took a good 4 to 5 months
oh, wow.
to really create that first one anyway, and sort of say, okay, what is it we want to say? And who are we together? Who are we individually? Because that's the thing when you have a duo, especially, is like still maintaining who you are, but then who are you with this person? How do you combine your gifts together to create an experience? And at the time, let's see, there was, well, Whitney Center for the Arts was sort of our home that first summer out. And, you know, has since not, I don't believe they're doing performances there currently, but that was the space that we were there every month. We had a performance and, you know, sold out shows that were, what was great about them was, and what's great about the art of cabaret is that you are creating a show, telling a story, whatever the story happens to be. You're finding music you love, and that can be from musical theater. It can be from popular contemporary music. It can be from classic rock. It can literally be anything. And that's what I love the most about it, is mm-hmm. really finding a way to tell the story creatively but authentically with various styles of music. And that's sort of, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but sort of coming together with this act has been about deciding what styles of music work best for both of us, and then kind of carving the road ahead with that style. And I think that one of my favorite things that people have said about our performances is that you know, the world is a crazy place. We know that. But when you come to one of our shows, it's sort of this really easy exhale. You know, mm-hmm. you kind of leave everything at the door. You're going to laugh. You're maybe going to cry a little bit. There's going to be this sort of, okay, well, for the next hour, hour and a half, we're just doing this. And everybody can participate. It's sort of, it's not this sort of big theater space where the audience is out there and we're on the stage. It's more intimate and we're talking to people and we're sort of getting to know people. And it feels, it just feels really personal in that way. And that's what I love about being able to bring it back to the Berkshires where we know so many people, and I'm excited about it.
And you get that first gig at Whitney. How did you end up there, and how do you, you know, line up gigs? Obviously, there's a lot of word of mouth. People see you, and they're like, oh, we got to have you here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that, I believe, taking me back now, I believe that what happened was Ron had just newly moved back to the Berkshires, mm-hmm. and he was housing his piano at Whitney House. Whitney Center for the Arts. And so they said, well, your piano's here. And he, at that point, as I mentioned, was looking to create an act. And he was doing an opera night. And he was doing, you know, he was slowly starting to do a few things. So he was the one that had made the connection with the Wit. So I don't know exactly how that happened, but he found that space and put his piano there. And that's and so the piano was there, so we were there, too. And so from there, it was like somebody would come. Again, it was you know enough people in the Berkshires to fill the house for the first one, right? And then mm-hmm. And then you sort of rely on whether it's social media or, you know, printing your poster and putting up on every board in the county, but counting on that word of mouth to say, oh, that's a really great show. This is fun. We had a blast going to that. And trying to change it up enough so that people don't – we never do the same show twice. I mean, it's sort of to our detriment because we're always trying to learn new music, you mm-hmm. know, but it's we really do try never to make the same experience twice so that when people come, it's always a very fresh and new experience. And so that led to working with the Berkshire Scenic Railway, and we were on the trains doing cabaret trains and Christmas trains, and we did that for years. And actually, we may be back there this Christmas, so we'll see about that. More to come on that. But that was a great, fun experience. And so again, somebody comes to the train, somebody comes to this and says, hey, you know, would you play at this party, or we're doing a charity benefit? Can you come and sing here? And that has really been how we've gained some recognition here, and people know to call on us if they have a need for this kind of work.
And you say you never do the same show twice. How is that? I mean, it feels like kind of a pain, you know, because it's just like you see musicians on the road where they can just change things up whenever they want. But a lot of times, you know, the set list from a month ago is the set list that you're going to see at the show tonight.
Right.
So you can play and like, that's a bathroom break song and things like that. So, you know, massive bands, touring musicians who have a massive catalog mm-hmm. and they can flip songs around ideally whenever they want, and they don't.
Yeah.
How complicated is it for you and Ron to make sure it's not the same experience twice?
Well, 12 years later, I have to say it's not so complicated anymore because we have quite a large catalog of music that we've done together. But initially, I mean, it was, if you're doing a show every month and the show's going to be different from month to month, that month was filled with, not to say that there weren't some favorites that we would keep in here and there, but let's say in an hour and a half, you're singing 14 or 15 songs. You know, at least 9 or 10 of them need to be different. And so that is, you know, being true to, we know that a lot of our audience members were coming back, which we were so grateful for and remain grateful for. So to maintain that and to make the experience fresh and new for them, that was just our commitment to making that happen. And, you know, is it a pain? I don't know if it's a pain. It's just, it was just a lot of work.
Yes.
And, you know, happy to make that happen. But that's the beauty of now being that far down the road and saying, we have all of this that we can pull from and choose from. And so if we happen to be in the room and this was the plan, we were going to sing these 12 songs, but maybe whoever's here isn't feeling it. We can change it and we can make it, you know, what feels right in that moment. And that's fun.
Yeah, because I've seen bands, you know, they've come out and done their, it's the 30th anniversary of this album, and you could tell the crowd's just not feeling it.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, well, we're screwed. We got to play this whole album.
Right. We're committed now. Yeah. Here we go. That's right.
So where can we see you guys over the summer?
Oh, thanks for asking. So we have lots of fun things actually lined up for the summer. The first one is actually going to be July 10th. It's our first time at Wander, Wander Cafe, which is right in Pittsfield. Mm-hmm. And we're going to just be doing, again, just light and easy, keeping it fresh and fun for everybody. Songs you know, maybe you want to sing along too. So that will be on July 10th. And then Ron has also started Ron Ramsey's Berkshire Music Salons. And it is conjunction with all of the fabulous quote-unquote Berkshire cottages that we have here, the historical cottages of, you know, whether it's Namkeg or the Mount or et cetera. So he is creating salons that are meant to be at each of these cottages. He started last year, and this summer we're doing a trio of salons at the Mount. One salon at the Mount and three at Norman Rockwell Museum. So Norman Rockwell is celebrating the 250th anniversary. America 250, along with the rest of the country. And Norman Rockwell is so synonymous with Americana, so it's this beautiful pairing. And we are doing three salons. Those will be July 16th, August 20th, and September 3rd. They're all Thursday evenings. You can find out more on their websites. And then we're also doing a really exciting salon at the Mount with author Dr. John Gennari, and we're doing in conjunction with his book, The Jazz Barn, and all about the music inn that brought in musicians like Ella Fitzgerald and Dizzy Gillespie and Louis Armstrong and all of the greats of the jazz age that were right here in Lenox performing, mm-hmm. and we're doing a salon or a concert along with a group that Ron also belongs to called the Jolly Ranchers. And that's Eileen Markland on violin, Ben Cohn on piano, and Charlie Tokars on woodwinds. And so it will be the five of us with John Gennari at the Mount on August 16th for this really cool jazz program. And then we'll be this fall at Adams Theater in Adams, which is a very cool new space. And as somebody who grew up in Cheshire and went to school in Adams, I'm excited to bring back to that space and be at the Adams Theater with Ina Moore, who is creating beautiful programming over there. So that will be on October 17th. But all of those dates can be found on my website, which is just my name, SamanthaTalora.com, and all of that information is there.
That makes it easy.
Yeah.
I love the Adams Theater.
Yeah,
I've had the
gorgeous
opportunity to go a few times. They've really done a great job there.
So exciting, and I'm thrilled that it's right there in our backyard and really and so accessible to everybody. And I saw a High School Musical there recently, and I love that she's opening it to the community as well. So
which one did you see?
I saw Legally Blonde.
Yeah, my daughter was in that.
Oh, she was.
Both of my daughters
were in
that. Oh,
my gosh. It was so great. Oh, my gosh. They were incredible. That was with the BART School, and they were phenomenal.
Yeah, it was a really good show.
Yeah.
It's amazing how you can, you know, High School Musical, yada, yada, yada,
mm-hmm.
and you go, and they just blow you away.
The voices, the acting, the space, it was, bravo to whoever's in charge over there. They really, it was fantastically done.
And you're going to Savannah, Georgia. How did that whole thing happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love Savannah. So this is probably my fourth or fifth visit now. Again, that was through David Friedman. He is in the world of opera, Cheryl Milnes is a baritone, world-renowned baritone, who is now in his 90s, but in his day was the baritone to know and hear. And he and his wife, Maria Zuvis, have created the Cheryl Milnes Voice Experience. Started in Tampa, Florida, but now is in the secondary location of Savannah, Georgia. So the Savannah Voice Experience, every summer they do a festival, 2-week-long festival that brings in young musicians to study with opera greats and opera coaches, but also work with musical theater. So they celebrate opera first and foremost because that is Cheryl Milnes, you know, that is his mm-hmm. work. But they brought in David Friedman to help them learn about musical theater and interpreting song and the differences between singing classically and musical and with a musical theater bent. And when David was invited down, they asked if they also bring in festival artists to sort of anchor with concerts while the students are learning. And, you know, they asked if he had any musicians that do that sing his work, any singers that come down, and he thankfully thought of me and brought me down. And it was my first time in Savannah, which was a couple of years ago now, and I've fallen in love with that space. So I've done several festival concerts to sort of gain awareness for the festival, to raise funds for the festival, again, for young people to learn this beautiful craft. And this year they've invited me to create my own solo show and come down and perform it for the audiences there in Savannah. So that will be on August 14th. I'll be down there and then turn around and come back for the mount on the 16th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably hot down there at that point.
Ooh, yes. So it will feel just nice and brisk when I return back here.
Well, to the probably not. Probably no. Not.
Listen, a girl can dream, Bob.
Samantha Talora, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was lovely to catch up with you.
It was.
And your story is inspiring. And, you know, I'm sure there's people out there. You know, tons of people out there that are sitting at their desks that just settled for the safe job and wishes they were doing something else.
That's
so
right.
I hope people are inspired to,
thank you, Bob.
To go all in. And
go all in. You get this one amazing life. Go in and live it.
Thanks again, Samantha. We get Joe DeCicco on the show tomorrow. He's talking about striking out cancer. That event's coming up. They get an event Saturday. And then, of course, the big game is next Saturday. We'll be talking with Joe tomorrow here on Morning Drive. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.